still going to work 5 days a week? That is so 2015. Oil prices tumbled to the lowest level since December of last year, and online Black Friday sales rocketed. It's the business news headlines for Monday, the 28th day of November. Thanks for being with us, everybody. In other news, shoppers are threatening a boycott of a major home improvement chain. And we'll tell you why. Sure, Starbucks could pay their workers more, but why when you, the customer, can do that for them? It's an interesting story. We've got the Wall Street Report, and Netflix hits movie screen pay dirt. Let's go.
Insight on Business News Hour and Headlines is brought to you by the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members worldwide. Find them at ntpda.com. Taro International is a professional training center dedicated to helping individuals and businesses succeed. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro. T-E-R-O.com. The business news is also brought to you by AARP. Learn more at aarp.org. Also, Focus and Find, a socially responsible recruiting company dedicated to making a difference. Focusandfind.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome back to work, so to speak. It is the Monday after the Thanksgiving weekend. Grateful that you're with us again today. Want to follow us on Twitter? You can find us at IOB_NewsHour. Well, there's a new book out by Anne Helen Peterson that says employers can argue and threaten their employees to work not only from the office, but also 5 days a week, and they will find themselves to be so out of touch. The book, Out of Office: Unlocking the Power and Potential of Hybrid Work, takes a long look at the future of work and says that working 5 days a week is oh so old. CNN is reporting that Peterson believes the COVID-19 pandemic fundamentally reoriented our relationship with work. Though it feels like the 5-day, 40-hour work week has always been with us, it's actually a relatively new invention. Even into the 20th century, for example, it was considered normal to work on Saturdays, in addition to the usual 5 days a week. The Massachusetts Bay Colony, for example, had a 10-hour minimum workday. As far back as 1866, Congress considered mandating a 40-hour work week, but the legislation stalled. Then in 1926, Henry Ford instituted the 40-hour work week for his employees, believing that was the optimal amount of time for someone to work in a week. Congress eventually mandated that employers pay workers overtime if they put in more than 44 hours a week in 1938. And that law was amended in 1940, reducing the work week to a 40-hour maximum. But the 40-hour work week was and is routinely violated by salaried employees who believe that working more is working better. The pandemic changed everything, and now the question before bosses is whether they want to push to reinstitute that employees come to the office 5 days a week because, hey, that's how we were doing it pre-pandemic, or whether they want to actively explore the possibility of flex time or even a 4-day week to better fit the lives of their workers. Two words? Yep. Stay tuned. It is a stunning reversal. Oil is falling like a rock, and gasoline is down 6% in just 1 month. The reason for the dramatic shift? China. It's feared that as protests continue over COVID restrictions, that demand will evaporate. Indeed, West Texas Intermediate Crude Oil Futures, the U.S. benchmark, slid 2.7% on Monday to trade close to $74 a barrel. That's a level last reached in December of last year. That has helped U.S. drivers realize much lower prices. Here in the Des Moines, Iowa area, a gallon of 10% blended ethanol is now selling for $2.99 a gallon. In a rare move, thousands of protesters took to the streets across China over the weekend in a series of demonstrations against the country's zero-COVID strategy. One of the sparks of the massive protest was a deadly apartment fire that videos from the blaze seem to indicate the COVID policies kept firefighters from reaching the area. Yes, indeed, we are in a global economy. If consumers are nervous about inflation, that fear did not show up on Black Friday, as billions were spent online. Sales in the United States topped a record-breaking $9.12 billion this year, according to Adobe Analytics, kicking off a solid start to the holiday shopping season despite inflation and other economic concerns. Adobe, which tracks sales on retailer websites, said that this year's Black Friday online sales were 2.3% higher compared to last year, with electronics, smart home equipment, toys, and exercise equipment providing the biggest boost. Now, some of that growth reflects higher prices and not higher volume, since the firm's figures are not adjusted for inflation. But Adobe says sales would have been much higher even if inflation were factored in. CNN is reporting that Americans are dipping into their savings accounts and racking up debit and credit cards to make purchases, all according to Claire Tassin, Morning Consult's retail and e-commerce analyst. And that could be a problem moving forward. Well, what in the world has shoppers so concerned that they are willing to boycott Home Depot? Calls for a boycott against Home Depot have been growing on Twitter over the past couple of days due to a link between the company and the recent block against student debt relief. That, according to Newsweek. President Biden announced his student loan forgiveness plan back in August, but it's yet to come to fruition, largely because of two high-profile lawsuits. One of those suits is backed by the Job Creators Network Foundation. It's a conservative advocacy group organized by Bernie Marcus, who is also the co-founder of Home Depot. On November 10, a federal judge in Texas decided in favor of the Marcus-backed lawsuits, which is brought by two plaintiffs who were not eligible for the full amount of student loan forgiveness. They wanted to block Biden's plan, calling it unconstitutional. Now, as far as the company is concerned, there is no association between its co-founder and the retailer. A Home Depot spokesperson told Best Life that Marcus is no longer involved with the company. Quote, "Our co-founder left the Home Depot more than 20 years ago, and his views do not represent the company," end quote. Marcus retired from the Home Depot company in 2002, according to the Associated Press. And this is not the first time Home Depot has responded to similar backlash surrounding its co-founder's political contributions. Just last month, the retailer also faced calls for a boycott after Marcus contributed to a political action committee of Georgia Senate candidate Herschel Walker. You know, when a company like Starbucks can make billions in gross profit, like $21.9 billion this year, you would think they might pay their people more. Nah, why do that when you can pay them? MSN is reporting that the coffee chain recently rolled out a new tipping system that allows you to tip workers when you use a credit or debit card, and even employees are embarrassed to use it. Earlier in the month, a worker provoked discussion on TikTok after characterizing the system as unreliable and time-consuming, noting that customers have still not gotten used to the new system. Now another Starbucks worker is provoking discussion after pointing out another facet of the tipped program. It prompts users for tips after ordering through the drive-thru. In a video with over 5.9 million viewers, TikTok Ray Lee shows a series of embarrassed reactions while preparing to hand over the credit card reader to customers. In the comments section, she notes that, quote, "Unfortunately, we can't turn the option off. I wish we could," end quote. One worker remarked that she is hitting the no tip button because she is so put off by the practice. It was a down day on Wall Street as the Dow tanked by 497 points to end the trade at 33,849, while the Nasdaq fell 176 points to finish the day at 11,049, and the S&P 500 was off by 62 points to close at 3963. So what happened? Well, commentary from senior Federal Reserve officials added to the market's woes during a session that had been dominated by news of spreading unrest in China. John Williams, president of the New York Fed, warned that unemployment could climb to 5% next year due to the central bank's aggressive interest rate hikes, while St. Louis Fed President James Bullard said the central bank will likely need to hike rates higher than many currently expect. And finally, there is this, and this has to do with Netflix and the big screen. It seems that Netflix's most recent bet on movie theaters has paid off. The streaming giant's theatrical release of Knives Out sequel, Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery, earned $9.2 million from Friday to Sunday. That was outperforming releases from Disney and Steven Spielberg and making it the highest-performing movie per screen in the U.S. and Canada. Moviegoers told the Wall Street Journal that seeing the film in person felt special, and Netflix's success could encourage streaming services to release more movies in theaters before offering them online. Well, that's a wrap for the business news headlines for today. Thanks so very much for joining us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease, and the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great evening. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.